You just gotta get that border open, Hazy, and I am gonna use the avenue that you did for that Packers game out in San Fran. Bookseats.com.
We love it. It's a go-to.
It's like
operation.
Sports packages where you go to for your sporting events. They do travel. And I want to go to that game. And I don't care about a lot of stuff. But we need borders open to go to that, dude.
Yeah, that's a bucket list item where...
Yes. I've never been there. I used to be a Pats fan.
Well, that's an interesting proposal because your boy Tom Brady, your Bucs, you're a longstanding Buccaneers fan. It's been about 12 months. And you're going back into your old barn in Foxborough.
Let me ask you this, okay? You're waiting in the lobby an hour early like you usually are. And I wheel down and we're going to Foxborough. We're going to Foxborough and I have a Bucs jersey on. Are you sending me back up to take it off?
Yes, I am, because you're asking for trouble in Boston. You know how they react. They probably, although I read a stat last week that the Tom Brady Buccaneer jersey was the number one sale in football last year, which is not a surprise.
Of course, of course.
The number one market, I believe, was Tampa. I think the number two market was Boston. Like, there were a lot of people in Boston that clearly sided with Brady, loved Brady, appreciate what he did, and said, listen, I'm let bygones be bygones. You're still my boy, and I'm going to buy your jersey. And so I actually think a Brady Bucs jersey is fine in Boston and likely fine in
Foxborough. Dude, I would never do that. My cousin Lindsay is a beautiful woman and not tall in stature. She showed up to MSG with my Toronto Maple Leaf jersey on and drunk goons all around her. And I said to her after the game, why would you even wear that in here? Like, it's not like I'm Scott Stevens from the Devils or Dennis Potvin, who they really hated MSG. But right. You just don't do it. You're just asking for it, man.
Yeah, it's a weird vibe down there in the States, too. Like, it you get it, like, you go to a Leaf game in Montreal on a Saturday night, you get fights break out. Like, yeah. I know of that. I have not personally been in fights. I have friends that have been on the wrong side of it, or the right side of it. They're from Toronto.
At a Leafs game?
Yeah, they went to a Habs game at the Bell Center. Listen, they were loud, obnoxious, drinking, yelling and screaming, and you're going back and forth, and fights break out. You know, like, it's not all the time,
dude,
but it does
no
happen up here
for
as
that
well.
At my age.
Oh, me neither. No interest whatsoever of going to a sporting event and getting into a fight because of a shirt I'm wearing. I mean, there's no way I'm doing it. You know what you'll see probably at that game is the split jersey guy, half Tampa, half New England. That guy will be represented at Foxborough Week 4.
The only person that's allowed to wear split jersey is Eric Stahl's mom. Or anybody that has multiple children in professional sports. Yeah. Guriel's mom had a split jersey on the other day in Houston.
Yeah,
that's the only person that's allowed the half jersey. Sorry.
Right. I agree with you. The parent can pull it off. The family member can pull it off where you have, you know, a pair of brothers that are on two separate teams. Go for it. But
right.
The fan that does it is... It's just the most outrageous ask. Imagine going into a sports apparel store and saying, this is what I want. Why is it even offered? Do you have to pay more? Do you have to pay for two separate jerseys? Is that the way it works? I honestly don't know.
It's stupid. By the way, yeah. Hazy, MSG, Ranger game, it's a bucket list thing for hockey fans.
Has to be. I'm dying to go down.
And if you pay attention to the schedule, it seems like the Maple, if you're a Leaf fan, the Leafs are – me and my wife do it every Christmas before the World Juniors. We shoot down there and we catch a Leaf at MSG around Christmas time. Nothing better. Nothing.
I'm with you. I love New York. I miss New York. I look forward to getting back to New York. I've been to the Yankee Stadium a couple times. It's awesome.
But you've never seen a game the Leafs play at MSG?
I have not seen the Leafs at MSG.
Oh, you
got to
do it. You got to do it.
It's gritty. Like, I mean, the fan bases travel well, but, I mean, MSG, the fans are what they are, right? Like, they're known to be pretty gritty and
best goal celebration in the NHL. Best goal celebration in sports. When they play that tune, they're all going crazy. It's awesome.
I kind of like Chicago's song.
Yeah, they're right there. They're right there.
You know, like that. Like, I – And I mean, when Chicago was cooking, that song was
awesome.
You know, that would echo awesome. In your oh, yeah. head on the plane afterwards. If you give up a 6 or 7 spot to them, you could never get that song out of your head because you're digging it out of the net. But that there are certain buildings that have that aura around them. Obviously, MSG catching a game there. You know, it's just weird. Like, as a player, I remember showing up there for a game, and like the circus was still there. Like, the ice wasn't even exposed yet. They were like walking elephants out, and oh yeah, you know, the circus is done. NHL game next, and then oh, basketball game later, or vice versa.
The they amount did, of like, turnover three is events. Crazy. Yeah, the it's amount crazy. Of turnover is crazy, and the size of the building, right? And
right.
Like, where, how far up you are, I think it's on the fifth level,
fifth
I believe.
Fifth floor, yeah, it is.
And I want to say the boxing is on the 11th floor or something like that. Like, they don't box where they play hockey and basketball. There's a completely another, you know, there's a different venue.
I just know that's a legendary. I mean, I've seen so many concerts there, so many cool things there, but it is a bucket list thing if you haven't done
have
that.
To
and
do
when
it.
The world opens up, you know,
yeah, have to do it.
Do a show from there.
Speaking of Chicago, the Jonathan Toews story, you know, was
weird, man.
Yeah, it really was. Like, I feel for the guy. I don't know what he's going through. He's dealing with some sort of illness or something. You know, some sort of condition.
That's the scary element of it, where it's a sickness that when no one knows what the sickness is, it scares the hell out of me.
Exactly, yeah. And I think Stan Bowman came out and said recently that, you know, they believe he should be back. He they're hopeful he's going to be back. But I remember when the news broke, and I think it was Dregs that had it, that he was, you know, not showing up, not going to be playing. I don't believe it was definitive originally, like he was done for the year. But it never became something that anyone even brought up, like the idea
right.
that Toews was on the verge of returning. You know, it was out of sight, out of mind. He was away from the team and gone, and it was it's really too bad, and hopefully he will return. And here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. What can you tell us about the Toews story and the situation and what we should be expecting here going into the offseason?
Yeah, you know what? It's a tough one for sure for all the questions that you guys have asked and the fact that we don't have a lot of answers. The only thing I know is that when I talk to, you know, those who represent Toews, and you're talking about Pat Brisson and CAA hockey and whatnot, they don't want to get into the details of what he's been through, other than to say that all of the speculation out there, and there's been crazy stuff, right? Like ALS, various cancers, all of that. None of it is accurate. None of it is accurate. And, you know, they're quick to add that he has made considerable improvements. And, yeah, they're hopeful, and they're expecting that he's going to be good to go as early as the start of training camp and into next season. Beyond that, no sense of what the diagnosis is, what's gone on, whether it's physical, mental, both, all of those things. They're not letting us into that world. And I, you know what, guys, I respect that. I've always said, and I always adhere to this, even through COVID, I don't dive into the personal affairs of players. If it's a physical injury that was, you know, that happened during the play, then yeah, I'm interested in that, and I'll dig and I'll try and just, you know, disclose whatever the information is. But not when it comes to personal stuff like this. So all I can tell you is exactly what I just said. It's not believed to be dire. But there's work to be done, but the hope is that he'll be back and ready to go for next year.
Well, Darren, if it's not as serious as what you're saying, why the hesitancy to not reveal what's going on? Why is there that protection there? Is that for his own personal privacy, or that's what I'm sure the fans or anybody in the game is what's causing concern, A, and B, what they don't really understand.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Owen. I understand that, and look, I've pushed as hard as I can push, and I'm sure others have, you know, in my side of the business as well, and we're just not getting any sort of traction. So it has to be personal and it has to be private, and beyond that, I don't know. I mean, I throw it back at you guys because I'm deflecting here, obviously, and I absorb some of it myself. If it was that deeply personal and it wasn't structural or anything hockey-related, would you want the world to know about it? Or would you go, no, it's my business and I don't want anybody to talk about it? It feels more like what I just said. And that's just my gut instinct based on what, you know, we haven't got anything from the Chicago Blackhawks. And what I told you about CAA Sports is as little as we've got from that side. So when you have it locked down to that degree, I mean, it tells you it's pretty personal, doesn't it? I mean, that's how it feels to me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I think that has become pretty clear, the fact that a player of that stature has just left the game and has been left alone to deal with whatever he's dealing with. And
you're
hopefully
right.
He plays again.
You're right. Like, I think, but he's earned, like, Jonathan Toews is such a class guy, and he's had, you know, been such a great ambassador for the game. He's kind of earned that right. Like, I know, like, I have no idea what is wrong with the situation, but, like, I think he deserves, you know, the benefit of the doubt. I know early on when that happened, people were like, oh, here we go with the Marian Hossa situation, because do you remember Hossa was kind of, there were some question marks as to how he went away on the cap situation. That isn't the sense here. Like, you know, Jonathan Toews is a, you know, a real, not that Hossa it wasn't, but like, just Jonathan Toews, to me, deserves the benefit of the doubt for how great he's been, not only for the Blackhawks, but for the league.
I agree.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, for sure. And I guess, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens throughout the offseason and where it takes us. With Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. What did you make of the Rangers scenario here over the last week? It's been a whirlwind, but first they get rid of the president and the GM, and now they decide to get rid of the coach. So the whole structure, you know, behind the bench and in the front office all the way up is completely turned over for a team that I thought was pretty good this year. Not great, but I wasn't expecting them to be anything other than what they were. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden it's complete upheaval. You know, am I missing something, or was this – an owner that is completely impatient? Because that's kind of my inkling on this.
Well, I don't think you're far off, Brian, but are we missing something? No, I don't think so. I mean, I feel like never before has the player in the National Hockey League had more power than he has right now. And I think we got a sense over the course of the season with the New York Rangers that, you know, David Quinn wanted to play a certain way, and the roster that he had, the top-end guys especially, maybe didn't want to play that way. And that doesn't make David Quinn a bad coach. That's just a philosophical difference. So when Chris Curry gets hired or promoted, I guess, as general manager and president, he's in a tough spot because he's got a history with David Quinn. They're buddies. You know, it goes back to the Boston days, all of that. But he then has to conduct exit interviews. And my sense is that he got enough dialogue from the players in the exit interviews to not force him, but encourage him to make the decision that he made. Because, you know, there had been some, again, speculation about David Quinn, certainly the second half of the season, that made you wonder a little bit, even with Jeff Gorton as general manager and John Davidson as president. So I wasn't shocked by it even a little bit. I'm going to be more curious as to how Chris Curry approaches the hire and the replacement of David Quinn, because the New York Rangers, you know, you guys might look at that roster differently than I do. I think that this team is a team that's going to be real close to ready to pop in a year or so. Maybe not next season. You know, you need to develop and let players get to where they need to be in their own time, but that speaks volumes to me when an inexperienced general manager president comes in and one of the first things he does is fire a buddy in David Quinn. So I'm not, you know, indicting David Quinn as a coach. It just seems to me the Rangers, and maybe ownership is pushing this, believe that they're closer to being a better team than what maybe the pre-existing management thought they were.
With our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. So the Maple Leafs are back in action tonight, and Nick Foligno's back in the lineup, Freddie Anderson back in the lineup. It sounds as if Hyman will be ready to go for game one. I don't know if he'll be activated and playing on Friday night. And it sounds like Riley Nash is a guy who's on the verge of playing. And
yeah.
I've contended since they acquired him, I think they've got him to play him. Like, I think he's playing come game one.
Yep.
But we saw him in practice yesterday on the third line. So not just a fourth line guy. Now, again, that's subject to change, and it's before we get to the real stuff here. But there's going to be some maneuvering here by Sheldon Keefe. But assuming health, I mean, the Leafs are going to be in a pretty good spot, and Keefe is going to have a lot of options in terms of what he wants to do with his lineup.
Yeah, and I think that's exciting, isn't it?
Like, absolutely.
From a market perspective, when you look at the ads, I like Riley Nash. I think that he is going to be a piece that the Toronto Maple Leafs need. You know, he's very defensive-minded. I mean, we don't have to go through everything that he can provide in that regard. We saw it firsthand. You know, Foligno healthy for sure is a much-needed add for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, bit spooked by the fact that, you know, he's had some spasm issues and everything else that's gone along with him of late. Freddie Anderson, to me, though, is the most intriguing. And I guess we'll see some of that tonight. What I expect is Ottawa is going to push, because that's what Ottawa does. And they're coming off a game earlier this week where they were terrible. They were flat. And I wouldn't expect that they would be that way tonight. So Freddie is going to have an opportunity to at least show that, you know, some of the rust is knocked off. But right or wrong, goaltending is going to be, I think, the primary conversation going into the playoffs. And that might be unfair to Jack Campbell, who has played very well, and I don't have a doubt that he's going to continue to play that way. But if he lets a soft goal in and Freddie has to come in, and, you know, we've been down this street many, many, many times before. So the look of the Toronto Maple Leafs going in, I think, is excellent, but you can't just erase the pencil mark question marks, because the question marks are still there.
Darren, we were talking earlier about how unfortunate this is for the fans. You've been to games in Winnipeg in the playoffs, Edmonton, Montreal, Toronto, like the back and forth and everybody outside. It would just be so awesome. And it's such a shame they're missing this.
It's heartbreaking. Like,
it is.
You know, we've all been there. You know, we've all had the opportunity to cover the Montreal Canadiens in the playoffs and the atmosphere around Montreal, the atmosphere post-game. And, you know, there isn't a restaurant or a bar that you can't go into Montreal after a game and it's buzzing. Like, it's just buzzing. And the same thing in Winnipeg. You know, I've had the good fortune of covering the Winnipeg Jets in the early rounds prior to the World Championships for a few years now, a number of years. And, you know, that the environment around the buildings in Winnipeg, in Edmonton, in Toronto, and obviously in Montreal, I mean, they're electric. And to not have that, I can't believe that is going to impact the players. But I guess they're all in the same boat. And so aside from watching the highlights that they're going to see with some of the U.S. teams that are enjoying having fans back in the building and how the loose restrictions allow people around the building and all that stuff, I guess you just got to hope for the best. But there's no question that it's going to have an adverse effect. For all of us, it is. No question.
Yep, it's going to be very unique. The whole ride has been. It's not. I wouldn't expect that to change come playoff time. Enjoy tonight. Bunch of games, and we're getting close to playoff time, so we'll do it again real soon. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider. Yeah, heartbreaking probably is the appropriate word. Like, if you're a sports
fan,
you're in Montreal, Toronto, Winnipeg, Edmonton, and even if you're just a fan scattered throughout the country, you know, the idea of watching the Bell Center, the, you know, Scotiabank Arena, the rink in Winnipeg, like, think about how loud it would be with McDavid, you know, skating around in warm-up in Game 3.
What about the households in this city alone? And I'm sure there's households in Montreal, Hayes, where the kids are Habs fans, the parents are Leaf fans, or your uncle, like, just the, like, for them not to be a part of it, I feel awful for them. I really
that's
do.
What I was talking about that earlier. Like, we all know people that
their
are
house Leaf, is divided.
Leaf fans are, Leaf fans are Hab fans. You know, I know several on both sides, you know, close to even my family, like you know, Steph's a Leafs fan and her dad is a Habs fan. Like that's, ultimately that's how it rolls around our household. So, I mean, I just kind of sit back and enjoy the banter.
And that's exactly what it is. And that's, I guess, what we were trying to establish earlier is that luckily you can get on the phone, you can text, social media is going to be wild.
Right.
And try to trigger normalcy as much as possible in an abnormal world and abnormal experience because we're missing out. Like the Leafs and Habs are playing in the playoffs for the first time in over 40 years. We can't go to the game. Can't go to a bar, can't hang out with buddies.
Right.
It's definitely going to be different. It's going to feel different, but hopefully it establishes some sort of emotion. I'm sure it will. And the anticipation, I think, by this time next week will be boiling over. You know, people, I'm fired up and we're still a week away. We're still, at least still have to play more than one game. You know, they're going to play two games before you can even get to a point where you reset and start really game planning for the playoffs. Yeah. But, it's too bad. And hopefully we get a chance to reignite this in the future. Again, this is East versus East, West versus West. So there is, of course, a chance. Like over the last 40 years, there's only been a pandemic, one of them. The Leafs and Habs didn't pull their weight. And mostly it was the Leafs that didn't pull their weight. And if you're not in the playoffs, you can't have a playoff battle, right? Like at some point, this will happen where the buildings will be packed and the commuting will happen. And, what is it, 5 hours to Montreal, give or take? If you're driving, if you're flying, it's 45 minutes to an hour. You know,
that
it would have been packed both ways. The commuting would have been off the charts. It's a lot longer from Winnipeg to Edmonton, but people would make that trip. People would make that trip for sure. And listen, there's not much we can do. And it's not like it's fresh, right? We've been experiencing this for over a year. This is what we do now. This is how we interact. This is how we are entertained. So at least we're accustomed to it. As opposed to, imagine like last year it was on pace, it was already locked in, Leafs, Habs, and all of a sudden it's like, actually, we're not doing that anymore.
Or the shutdowns are like right away and fresh, and we're not used to it, and people are frustrated. Like, we're still frustrated, but we're at least used to the frustration, for lack of better words, where everything was so new last
year. There's a new quarterback signing in Green Bay. We'll tell you about that, what it might mean for the Packers. And the Byron Nelson. We're on the verge of the Byron Nelson down in
Texas. Here's what's going to happen, Hazy B. We are stepping aside, and our TSN golf analyst, Noodles, is picking our teams for us.
That may not go so well, but we'll see. I mean,
and you have to sink or swim with it. You just have to sink or swim with who Noodles picks at the Byron Nelson.
Okay.
Like
it. Can he get any tips? Can he get any? What is it?
Dude, you'd have to just say thank you, Noodles, when he makes a selection for your team.
How many picks for each team? What are we doing?
Six guys each. Noodles does not watch a lot of golf, but he's going to come up with six guys for me and you.
All right.
And we got to sink or swim with it.
I like it. I'm absolutely in. I'm in the plus money, man. I'm willing to gamble. I'm rolling with bones.
Dude, shut up with that. That's a joke.
Very good about this. All right, we'll get to that and more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so the Green Bay Packers have signed Blake Bortles to a one-year deal. And the reasoning behind that is right now they only have two quarterbacks on the roster, one of which is Aaron Rodgers. And I think they've kind of figured this out, Noodles, that Rodgers is probably not going to be at minicamp, probably not going to be at the OTAs. And more than likely, unless something changes, and really what has to change, based on my understanding, is he's got to sign a new deal, get way more money, way more guarantees. He's not going to be there when camp opens up in the end of July, early August. So you got Jordan Love, who's on the roster, but they need more than that. So they go out there and sign Blake Bortles.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, you know what? It just feels like, I don't know how you feel, Hayes, but like, it feels like there's just going to be so much uneasiness until that situation sorts out. Right?
Absolutely.
That's why I said yesterday, and I'm not tying the two together because they're completely different. The Jack Eichel situation in Buffalo is going to be very noisy until it's dealt with, or maybe not dealt with. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers here. You know, I don't know how noisy it's been, but as the NFL approaches, and as you know, this is in the sports world, it's noisy every day.
It's as noisy as it gets.
And speculation, and then everyone's got a Rodgers story and what he said to this guy and what he's doing.
What about his wide receiver now? He's like, well, I got to think about things if Rodgers is gone. It's
that drives me nuts. Like Devontae Adams, like, listen, it's not your issue. The team has treated you very well. He's a free agent at the end of the year, to be fair to Devontae Adams, and I get it's his guy, but they haven't screwed you over.
Like, but just think, you know where his headspace is at. I'm in a contract year, and I want my guy throwing me the ball. And if he's not throwing me the ball, I want somebody quality that is.
Yes.
Because I'm not pissing money down the toilet.
And that's appropriate. That's absolutely accurate because he knows if Jordan loves the quarterback, all of a sudden he's got 900
money
yards
is just flying off of him.
Yep. You need the numbers, right? Like, and with Rodgers there, he's going to score, you know, 14, 15 touchdowns, have 1,200, 1,300 yards receiving, and then he's going to get a monster deal. Probably.
Although
from Green
Bay. He's so good. I don't think Jordan Love could even affect what somebody would give him because everyone would know what he
potentially.
What the deal.
You might see right through it, but the stats will drop. Like, that goes without saying. They're going to drop. And in a contract year, you get older. The NFL, man, every year you get older, it's like dog years. You know, it's not only the stats. Someone looks at the tape, they're like, nah, he's a little slower.
Yeah.
Didn't cut the same way. Not the same route runner.
Kidding. And Aaron Rodgers throws him passes that less than 10% of the quarterbacks in the NFL can throw.
Exactly. Handful of guys, tops, can make the throw. So Blake Bortles would be, I guess, in Green Bay. That's
people
great.
Hate that guy, man. Well, hate him.
Third overall, man. He's a bust. He's a top five pick bust. How many of them have there been in the NFL draft?
Dude.
Trubisky and Wentz and Jerry Goff and Blake Bortles and, you know.
Jerry Goff,
who's in Detroit.
Man, that's a thing, though. You guys talk about it like every time you throw, we'll call them, you know, quotation, a bust, and there's a story of, like, they traded up for this guy, past that guy. Like,
there's a horror story with every pick.
Right. There really is. Like,
it's generally going one above and one behind, and there's good players there.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't go first overall, and even that's still a question. You know, go back to hockey, you know, Nail Yakupov, guys you know, and that draft wasn't super strong. But I haven't gone back in that draft to see who the best player is from the Yakupov draft.
I couldn't. You know, I don't remember.
But people don't understand too.
Morgan
it's
Riley.
It's not all hockey people that are making the decisions. Like, you got owners that chime in and say, "I want that guy." You've got all kinds of different elements to what goes into that selection. It's not your chief scouting just going, "I'm taking Nail Yakupov." From everything I hear, accounts that I hear, it was the ownership in Edmonton that said, "I want Yakupov. That's the guy I want." So they had to take him.
Well, it does become kind of peer pressure because it's the ultimate gamble. The easiest thing to do is to take the guy that everyone says you're supposed to take. The mock drafts, the scouts, make it easier on yourself because then you're like, you know what? I'm taking the guy I was supposed to. If he's a bust, no one's going to yell at me because it wasn't a reach.
And everyone else was saying take him too. So everyone was wrong. Right?
Everyone was wrong. Where if you take or if you reach – then you're putting yourself out there, man. All of a sudden, you are on the firing line, and if it works, you're a genius. If it doesn't, you lose your job, right? Because you took the guy that no one said you were going to take, no one thought you should take, but you had to have him because you were so smart, and it didn't work out, right? And
I mean,
like Yakupov coming out of junior was, I remember before his draft year, it was a lock. Like, he was first overall. He was a stud. He was the next big thing out of Russia, and it obviously never materialized.
Actually, looking at it just quickly, like, there's some big names and some really good players. Maybe Vasilevsky would be the guy.
Oh, is he in that draft? Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's a little bit farther. He was 19th overall to Tampa. So, I mean, you know, there's some good players. Tommy Wilson and, you know, you talked about Morgan Riley, Lindholm, Dumba, Trouba, Philip Forsberg. Like, there's some real good NHLers there that – yeah, I've had long careers, but it's just I don't know why. I don't know how, if you guys are like this, you get caught down these crazy rabbit holes going, how did that guy end up there? You forget, like, I forgot that this player plays here, and it doesn't matter what sport, it just happens all the time, you know?
Well, now you got me going through it. Hellebuck went in that draft. He went in the fifth round.
Oh, no.
Connor Hellebuck in the fifth round. So yeah. And Jacob Slavin went in the fourth, 120th overall. Yeah. I'm not sure there's a better defenseman in the draft than Slavin.
Like, he's a hell of a player. He flies really under the radar, player. Right?
Like, yeah, he sure does.
Like, I don't know what you guys thought of my question to DeBoer yesterday, where I was like, if Theodore played north of the border or in a bigger, different market, like, because he may win the Norris this year anyway.
Absolutely. He is so good. I had a conversation with someone recently, a buddy of mine, where we were talking about the Olympic team, and I just said it as a matter of fact. I'm like, well, Theodore, and he stopped. He was like, Theodore, he's not making it. I'm like, are you nuts? He's probably going to play 28 minutes.
The number one lefty.
Yeah. He really is. He's absolutely their number one lefty right now. It's probably him and Makar as your top pairing.
Yeah.
You know, like going into next year, as of now, it's probably Theodore and Makar. That's how good he is. They might keep, you know, Pietrangelo with them, but who knows?
Right.
Anyway, we get the Byron Nelson teeing off tomorrow morning. And this is big news because I was not aware of this. You shocked the world about 10 minutes ago, when you announced that our picks would be made by Jamie Noodles McLennan.
Yes, yeah. The golfer.
So we'll call not an avid golfer, but he is the golf guru.
Casual fan, and I'm concerned that if I say a name, Jeff McDonald's head might explode.
That's the whole purpose of this.
That's the thing. So I mean, I'm ready to rock, and I've chosen really good players.
I like it. Are we doing snake? What are we doing here,
Ro? Well, I don't know. We're just going to go 1-1. You can pick Hazy's guy first.
Okay.
You get first pick. I had first pick last week.
Yep. Do you want top players or wild card picks first?
Dude, it's six players each. And what's wild card?
What are you talking about?
I don't know. Six players each, just 1-1-1-1, and we'll see what you've come up with. So you're Jerry Bettman at the draft. O-Dog's team. My first guy is who?
Bryson DeChambeau.
That's a great pick. I think he should be the favorite going into this week. Okay. Back in his home state of Texas, you have Bryson. All right, I am officially on the board. This is the golf guru, Jamie Noodles McLennan. What do we have?
Team Hayes will be John Rahm.
Ooh, I love Rahmsy. That was my number one pick. He's a birdie machine.
This guy is dialed in with the selections.
I actually love these picks.
There we go. So Team O, second pick, Daniel Berger.
Oh, I wanted the
Hayes. That's Hazy's guy, but I like him. I like the tight pants. I like the Adidas wear. I like all of it.
Yep. Okay.
Second pick for Team Hayes, Jordan Spieth.
That's usually my guy. He's coming off a bout of COVID, though. I'm a little concerned about that. He's barely played, but I like it. Okay, I'll take it. Back in Texas. O-Dog, back on the clock. Golf guru Jamie Noodles McLennan.
Third pick is Hideki Matsumami.
Matsumami, I like
him. I apologize if I butchered his name.
I like a Matsumami.
I do too.
I like it.
Correct me.
Matsuyama.
I apologize.
And the green jacket.
Yes.
Okay,
I'll take Hideki, as I think it's the first time for him teeing it up.
I should have just said Hideki. I should have just said that.
The green jacket, but I like it.
Team Hayes, third pick, Brooks Koepka.
No, you don't.
He's got one leg. He's got a broken leg.
Koepka probably wouldn't be my guy necessarily, but I like Brooks Koepka. Yeah, not really, but somewhat. Anyway, go ahead, Noodles. All right, we're on the clock.
Fourth pick, Timo, Matthew Fitzpatrick.
That is a sneaky good pick.
I don't exactly like that guy. I don't like him.
Why? Does he leave the pin in?
Maybe you guys, after what I'm done, you guys can trade.
And he's just overhyped. Everyone talks about how good he is, and he just disappears on Sundays. I don't know.
He's in the mix, man. Okay. He was in the mix of Riviera. I like what you just said, though, Noodles. One trade can be
You guys can do one trade at the end if you want, like if you want to put somebody up and negotiate. I kind of think that's cool.
I think that's a great idea. Okay. Who do you have for me, number four?
The fourth pick is Scottie Scheffler.
Oh, I love Scheffler.
Stifler's mom.
I love Stifler's mom. He's a Texas boy. He's due. You know he's breaking out. It's just a matter of time. He owned the Corn Ferry back in the day, Mr. 59. I love it. Who do you have? Back in the clock, the fifth pick for the O-Dog.
Team O, Sam Mr. Burns.
Sammy Burns, he just won.
I don't even like to pick, though. I don't care if he just won.
He just won.
I'll take him, though. Sammy yeah. Burns. I guess.
All right.
Sammy Burns.
And then the fifth pick for Team Hayes, Keith Mitchell.
Oh, the visor. That's a trade.
Okay, he's my buddy. He's my buddy. I'll give you Sammy Burns for Keith Mitchell.
No, I don't want
right
Sam
now.
Burns. I have no interest in Sam Burns. Burns got his win. He can win it again. There's no way.
Okay, Team O, the sixth pick, Will Zalatoris.
Zalatoris. I like
him. Zal dog. I'll take him.
115 pounds. It's bombs. I'll take him. Good pick. Okay.
There you go. And the sixth pick, Team Hayes, Cameron Champ.
Oh, I love Champ. He also hits bombs.
Bombs off the tee.
Yeah, okay. I have to be honest. I might pick this team if it was just straight up my picks with a snake. I love my team.
Yeah.
So to recap here, the O-Dog has Bryson, Berger, Hideki, Fitzpatrick, yes. Burns, and Zalatoris. And I have Rahm, Spieth, Koepka, Scheffler, Mitchell, and Champ.
Yeah.
Man, I
not
like
bad.
My team a lot.
I like this format, too. We go to the golf guru.
Golf guru. Okay. Yeah. Do you want to work out a deal, or I don't know.
I think there's a potential deal there.
Who do you want for Keith Mitchell?
Who do I want?
You want Matthew Fitzpatrick for Keith Mitchell?
Yes, I'll make that deal. I'll take Fitzy for Mitch. You can have him. That's a great deal. That's a fair deal. That's a deal where both sides want to be happy.
It is. You don't like your guy. I love him, and I hate my guy, and you love him.
So. Okay, I'll take Fitzpatrick, and you've got Keith Mitchell. Mitchell coming off a great weekend last week. He was really quality at Wells Fargo. So, Noodles, I think we've established something here,
There's something there.
Yeah, I think
the golf
there.
Guru, Zach Galifianakis was selected.
Yes, I knew that was, that one.
Matsuyami or whatever it was.
Tongue twister Matsumami. On a couple of them.
Matsuyami.
Matsuyami.
Matsuyami or whatever. I butchered his name, but you guys should have just said Hideki.
It's even better. It's more conviction. I like his chances, too.
One of our guys tweets or texts me and goes, give one of them Will Zalatoris, Happy Gilmore caddy look-alike.
Yes.
So apparently that's what he looks like?
Yes, he does. He that was a big thing at the Masters because he was in contention down the stretch. And he
looks like
it,
a homeless
6'3",
guy.
115 pounds? No, he's the little kid. It's not that guy. It's remember.
So he's the guy who tweeted out the picture of himself.
Yes, that's Zalatoris.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I thought that guy was hilarious.
The original caddy where he takes his clubs and Happy almost beats him up and he's like, caddy. That's Will Zalatoris. So he was playing. He was having fun with that. It was awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. I like that guy.
Yeah.
Classic.
So I like these teams. I like it. We've made a trade. And I like my trade. I'll take Fitzy. You've got Keith Mitchell, the visor himself.
That's the new format every Wednesday. The golf guru makes the picks.
Yeah,
for a major next week, we're going to do that for the
PGA. The major, how about this? For the major, we just give him one each that we have to live with.
Yes,
he makes one each, and we get five.
Okay, you guys got there's more at stake for the majors, but and I'll take one each or something. But I like the trade format, too. Because I feel that's kind of neat. You can pick your guy and go, hold on a second here. You know, I want to move this guy around.
I love my deal. I like Fitzy a lot this week. He's going to break through.
Oh, good.
Just a matter of time. Okay, there you go. Jerry's After Dark still to come. We got a couple more Jerry's we got to sneak in before the Leaf game tonight, the Blue Jay game tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life. Because Jerry's always in the mood for one more, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
one more.
Horny.
Hot take.
A double shot of horny there, as if that was necessary.
Not necessary at all.
Yeah, two nails had to be hit. One more horny hot take. In fact, we have two more. So Jerry's actually really feeling spunky tonight.
Wow.
Yeah, he's really in the mood. The lights are dim. The wine is out.
Cuvassier for Jerry.
The charcuterie board is hovering. And it's time
to
fire up some
wings.
Cakes. Yes, wings. In
Go
watermelon.
Ahead, Jerry.
Let's get to it.
One of two things will happen. So pick your poison.
either my guy Timmy Tebow was on the Jags roster week one, or Aaron Rodgers will not be on the Packers roster week one. Jerry read this take while doing the Tebow kneel. I always do the Tebow kneel when I pray at church, too.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I don't care.
Thank you, Jerry. The percentage is either Tebow's on the roster week one or Rodgers is not on the roster in Green Bay week one.
I think 75%. One of those two. That's all we need is one of them to happen, right?
Absolutely. One of
75%, one of them is happening. And I'm starting to lean towards Timmy Tebes.
What?
Playing tight end.
No, stop it.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's his boy, man. It's his boy. He was on TV today just blushing about the guy. He's making it. Timmy Tebes as a tight end.
I saw someone pose a question today, which seems somewhat appropriate. Can he catch a football? Like, seriously,
can he catch a football? Man. Can you?
I'm not playing in the NFL as a tight end coming across the
middle. Yeah, but you know what? You could catch a football.
Of course I could catch a football if you're throwing it to me. If Trevor Lawrence is throwing it across the middle and there is a monster also coming across the middle to take my head off, I can't catch that football. So Tim Tebow's
I think the Jacksonville Jaguars would have established the fact that he can catch a football.
Honestly, I mean, he may just be a blocking tight end. He might be a guy who he's not a guy that's going to be running, you know, post routes or anything like that anyway. But
yeah.
I don't see it. I think this is purely for show. I think this is about, you know, hey, look at good guy Tim Tebow. He works hard. Good for him. You know, I saw the same quotes. Hey, it looks like he's 18. Well, he's not. And great, he works out. That doesn't mean he can play football.
Wait till he gets run over.
Like exactly.
Here's a guy like that hasn't been run over in how many years?
Many years.
That's the thing. Wasn't he trying baseball for a while, too? Or what the hell else was
he
trying?
Mets. He was with the Mets, and that didn't pan out. So then he pulled the shoot on that, and now he's back in the NFL. And, hey, listen, go for it. He's got an invite to camp, but I don't think that's happening. The question for me is, will Rodgers maybe not be in Green Bay? And I can't picture it. I can't get there where I see him out, you know, unless he's just a holdout. But I'm going to say 20%. There's a chance. I can't say 0%, but I'll say 20% one of those two things happen.
I'm low on this because I think Rodgers is gone, and I think Tebow will not be on a roster.
In Jacksonville?
Yeah, exactly. So should I be high or low?
Well, if you think Rodgers is gone, then you should be high because this is saying that one of either Rodgers is not in Green Bay.
High.
Or Tebow's in Jacksonville. 92%,
because I think Rodgers is going to be sorted out before the start of the season, and I think Tebow's going to be a flash in the pan. They're going to dust him once they realize he can't play at 34 years old.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to take so long. All right, I think we have one more. You guys ready for one more horny hot take here from Jerry?
Jerry loves seeing the Raptors back where they belong in the draft lottery, but even I can't be that big of a hater. Because the Raps will bounce back next season and make the playoffs.
Dude, this is 97%. Like, you know how many bad – there's a lot of bad teams in the NBA, man, if you just pay attention and track it. Like, bad teams. So the distance they have to go to where Nick Nurse said they need to be, quote-unquote, as his ending comment to the press – They don't have that far to go to be that much better than everybody else. 100%. It's 100%.
Well, I'm not going to get to 100%, but you got to remember.
95, man.
Yeah, we're talking expanded playoffs, too. It's top 10 now, right? Like, that counts.
Right.
You get into 10th. This year has been a complete write-off. They're in Tampa, COVID. Mm-hmm. It's been a bad scene. They're resting. They're tanking now. And they still almost made it. I'm high on this as well. I still think listen, there's got to be some heavy lifting here. They've got to do something about the front court. They've got to find some depth. They've got to figure out what they're doing with Lowry. They might win a lottery, bring in a stud. That can help. I'll say 90%. 90% they're back in the playoffs. I'm pretty high on that, too.
I'm high on it, but 86%.
Okay.
I'm right
86%.
There.
86%. Maybe there's some homerism there, but I feel good about their program this year notwithstanding.
Agreed.
So there it is. All right, good stuff today. We are out of here. The Leafs are in action tonight. The Jays are in action tonight. Enjoy those games. Enjoy your evenings. We are out of here. We're back tomorrow at?
Matsumami says 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.